Well, good morning, church. Good morning. I want to thank Brother Greg for scheduling me the week after a world-renowned Bible pastor. That was very good of him. But glad to be here today. Today we're going to be in Judges. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Judges. Sorry. Oh, Children's Church. They didn't tell me this. This is your fault. Children's Church. For those who are going to Children's Church, please be dismissed. Get me all out of sorts up here. Thank you for reminding me, though. Like, what? Something on my face? All right. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to Judges 6. We're going to be reading in verses 1 through 6. If you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning. Judges 6, verses 1 through 6 says this. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains, and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time this morning, for Brother Chance and Chase, and Lord, for him leading us to the throne of grace this morning. God, we do pray for our pastor and worship leaders that are away, bring them home safe. And Father, this morning, that the word that you have bestowed upon us, that it would be sown into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. All right. Well, Friday, April 3rd, 2004, news of a soldier killed in action in the Middle East was reported to us. As much as we never get used to these reports, this time there was something unique about this particular soldier. You may remember, his name was Pat Tillman, and what he did was extraordinary. You see, Pat was drafted by the NFL Arizona Cardinals in 1998 as a strong safety. That first year, he broke the franchise in 2000, the franchise record for tackles with 224. At that time, he had a $3.6 million a year contract. He was at the top of his game. The St. Louis Rams were after him with an offer 3 times larger than his current contract. Pat Tillman was living the American dream. Let some of you know what happened. 9/11 happened. Our country was attacked. At that time, for Pat, a higher cause gripped him. So in May 2002, at 25 years old, Pat Tillman walked away from the NFL, trading a multi-million dollar contract to become a soldier with an $18,000 a year salary. Quietly, without fanfare, he joined the Army and became an Army Ranger. Pat Tillman's agent said of him that he was not only an impact player on the field, but Pat was an impact person. He swam against the current. He made a difference in the lives of those around him. Well, this morning, I want to introduce you to an impact player from the Old Testament. His name is Gideon. As we just read here, the story opens up with Israel again doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Up to this point, there had been a pattern of sin in the life of God's people and a cycle of defeat. And Gideon, as we read through Scripture, we find out that he's the fifth judge to come on the scene in Judges. There's Othniel, Ehud, Shumgar, Deborah, Barak, and then Gideon. Over and over. And see, what happened in those days was there was no king. There was no King David. There was no king ruling the land. So God would raise up judges to judge the people, and they would lead the people, lead them to Christ. Well, that's what's going on. God's going to raise up a judge for his people. But they're sinning in this time. This sin against the Lord not only affected their spiritual condition, but it was also affecting their physical condition. As we read here in Scripture, they're starved to death. They're hungry. The enemy's coming in. They're taking all their food. They're taking all their animals. It's a terrible situation. They're starving to death. And that is what sin does. It affects every area of our lives. It affects our families. It affects our children, our marriages, our jobs. And yes, sin affects even our health. Somebody say, well, Brother Joe, what is this great sin? I mean, come on. This is what's going on here. Well, Judges 6 is very clear in God's word what this sin is. If you read Judges 6:10, it says this. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you lived, but here it is. But you have not obeyed me. Quite simply, this sin that's on Israel is disobedience to the Lord. They had set up idols in their life. They had feared the gods of the Amorites. They'd put up idols to Baal and different gods. If you remember, the first commandment is, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. They were simply disobeying the Lord. The point today is, obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. Mark it down every time. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. Hey, I was thinking about that. How does that look in today's world? I have a niece named Hannah. And a few years ago, we were chatting. She was going to go to college. And she was really, she decided that's what she was going to go to college, but she didn't know where she was going to go to college. So we sat down one afternoon in the living room at my parents' house, and we're chatting. Her two choices were Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or University of Northern Iowa. And she's all torn. I said, Hannah, tell me about it. What's going on? Well, as we talked, every time she talked about Middle Tennessee State University, her face would light up. She was excited. Things were good. Then we'd talk about University of Northern Iowa, and she'd all upset, say, well, Hannah, what's going on? I said, well, my mom wants me to go to UNI. And that's where she went. She's really putting pressure on me to go to UNI. I said, where are you feeling the Lord leading? Well, I'm feeling the Lord leading me to MTSU. Now, let me explain a little difference here. Middle Tennessee State is a state school. It's not a Christian organization by any stretch of the imagination. However, from university standards, it's very conservative as far as today's world goes. UNI, on the other hand, ultra-liberal, ultra-ultra. They are steeped in the homosexual and lesbian community. They not only are steeped in it, they exalt it. It's celebrated in their campus. Totally different in the campuses there. I said, okay, Hannah, we're going to pray about that. Ask the Lord to lead you. So we prayed with her, and I was praying for her for a couple weeks. Get the word. Uncle Joe, I'm going to UNI. So, Hannah, I hate to hear that, but, you know, you do what you need to do. End of the story is, Hannah lived in that society for 4 years, graduated. To this day, she is steeped in the homosexual community. She's living with another lady, and she's a lesbian. And by all accounts, she is an unhappy person. You see, obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. If there's nothing else you get from the day, please go away with that. So as we talk about this situation, the Israelites have conflict. They're away from the Lord. They're not following God anymore, and conflict is coming to their life. So the point is this. God uses tough times to get our attention. God uses tough times to get our attention. It didn't escape my fact last week when Dr. Moulier was speaking. He said when he was 18 years old, he was in a really tough time. And that tough time was what God brought him back to the Lord, brought him to the Lord. He got saved. About 4.5 years ago, I got melanoma skin cancer. I can guarantee you God had my attention. God uses tough times to get our attention. So what should we do? Tough times come? Well, verse 6 is very clear. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. Here it is. The sons of Israel cried to the Lord. So what do? You cry to Jesus. That's what you do. Sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Well, they cried to the Lord. They said, God, help us. And what happens? God begins to move. And he moves in an unlikely way, and he chooses an unlikely person. And he chooses a man named Gideon. I'm going to read, see how he calls Gideon. Judges 6, 11 through 16. Read with me here. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midians. It had gotten so bad they were not beating wheat where they were supposed to beat out wheat. They were hiding from the Midianites in the winepress. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Now, kind of interesting. Gideon's a little confused here. His tribe, his family tribe is Manasseh. Now, there are 12 tribes in Israel. Manasseh is the second from the bottom. There's only one lower than his tribe. His family is the least in the tribe, and he's the youngest in the family. He was the least of the least. In those days, he was the least of the least. But you see, point number two, God sees more than we do. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So do you know who you are? You are a child of God. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you are a child of God. Know who you are in Jesus. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary tasks. And that's what's happening here with Gideon. He's the lowest of the low. He says, "God, I'm nobody." And God says, "I know, but I'm going to use you anyway." Then the Lord begins to move. But Gideon isn't convinced. If you read through Scripture, he's got all kinds of excuses. "God, I'm the lowest of the low," and all these things. And he says, "Man, I can't do it." And they're good excuses. And it's kind of interesting here in verse 13, Gideon gets real with God. He says in verse 13, "My Lord, if you're with us, why has all this happened to us?" That's a good question, isn't it? Has that ever happened to you? "Lord, if you're here, how come I got melanoma, skin cancer? God, if you're here, how come I just lost my job? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about?" And God, he says right here, "But now the Lord has abandoned us and gives us the hand of Midian." God confirms his priorities with his presence. Verse 16, he says this, "Surely I will be with you." God confirms his priorities with his presence. Don't miss this. God has given Gideon a task, and Gideon has everything he needs to complete that task. Verse 14, the Lord looked at him and says, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Interesting to see. "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian." See, Gideon didn't have to take any special classes. He didn't have to train. He didn't have to go to deliverance school on how to deliver people from Israel. He didn't have to go get bulked up. He didn't have to do any of this. He had everything he needed to complete the task. You see, God uses us where we are, as we are, in our strengths, in our weaknesses. Whoever we are, God uses us. So the question I have for you this morning is, how about you? Is God asking you to complete a task for him that seems impossible? If so, great! That's good news. God's fixing to use you. Know this, that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. If God says go, you go. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. So what happens? Gideon's here, he's got a choice to make. The good news is, Gideon gets moving. In fact, it says God calls him a valiant warrior. Interesting side note, Gideon is the only character in Scripture that's called a hero by God. If we go back to Hebrews, we find out Gideon makes the honor roll of faith. He gets moving. He gets working for the Lord. So what's the first thing he does? First thing he does is he gets right with God. How does he do that? He removes the idols that are in his life. You remember back the first of Scripture? What was the sin in their life? They were worshiping other gods. He gets those idols out of his life. Let's see what verse 24 through 26 says. Verse 24 through 26 says, "Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it the Lord is Peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and Take a second bull and offer burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. You see, our first priority has to be in life, in home, in work, the Lord. God must be our first priority in everything. Knock down your idols, confess your sin, and return to God. Now, is that going to cause havoc in your life? You better believe it. We read on in Scripture, we find out when the townspeople woke up the next morning, they found all their idols had been destroyed and everything. They wanted to kill Gideon. Thankfully, Gideon's dad stepped in and said, no, Gideon's on the right track here. He's doing the right thing. Now, it's interesting, all this stuff, when we read through Scripture, we find out God actually performed a miracle for Gideon to prove to him this is what he wanted him to do. And all these things are going on. But Gideon is still not 100% on board. So he asked God to confirm to him, not once, but twice, his plan. You all know what's going on there. I think chapter 6, 33 through 40. Let's read that. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Bezerites were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they were also called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Then Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me as I have spoken, behold, I will put fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and is dry all on the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me as thou hast spoken. Verse 38, and it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece and a bowl full of water came out. Then Gideon said to the Lord, please, God, don't let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew all on the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was all on the ground. Interesting thing, God is developing Gideon into a fully convinced servant. God is patient with our faith process. Isn't that a great thing? God is patient with us, working in us, wanting to bring us to that point where we're 100% sold out for him. And that's what God is doing here with Gideon at this point. Finally, success is not determined by our own power. It is determined by God. Success is determined by God's power, not our own. And you know the rest. Gideon blows a trumpet. 32,000 men arise to answer the call. 32,000. They're going up against 135,000 Midianites. That's what Scripture tells us. There's 135,000 enemy and 32,000 men of Israel. That's a little over 4-to-1 odds. Now, I'm not a betting man, but I'm not sure I'd be betting on the Israelites at this point, over 4-to-1. And so what does God say here? God says, there's too many. He says, there's too many. You got 4-to-1 odds, there's too many. So what does he do? He says, Gideon, tell all the fraidy cats, whoever's afraid, send them home. We don't need them. 10,000 men leave. Wow. A third of his army abandons him. Now he's down to 22,000. So now what does God say? There's still too many. Whoa, goodness sakes, we're 22,000 to 135,000. You know what happened? God says, go down the brook. Whoever kneels down to drink, send them home. Whoever brings the water up to him, keep him. And how many stayed? 300 men. 300 men against 135,000 Midianites. God created an impossible situation. Why? To exalt his name. Simply put, that's all that's happening here. The people of Israel, they're in bondage. They're afraid. God brings up a judge. And why does he deliver them, or how does he deliver them? He delivers them to exalt his name. I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, all that you should be about, or all that we should be about, is to exalt the name of Jesus. Period. End of story. That's it. God is seeking the glory through us, if we will just let him. Luke 18:27 says this, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Amen? Accomplishing God's purpose in your life is not determined by your bank account. It's not determined by your wealth or how strong you are or your smartness. It's not determined by the size of our church or skills or abilities. It's all about the Lord. God is looking to glorify Himself through His people who are fully and completely dependent upon Him. And He invites us to join Him in doing His will. And when we do, we say, Lord, it's 300 to 135,000. It doesn't make any sense. I know that You're calling me to do this. When we do it, God is glorified. A saying by D.L. Moody says this, give me 10 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I shall change the world. So what about you today? Is God calling you to action? Is He calling you to a task that seems impossible? If so, you're in good company. You're in company just like Gideon. As we finish this text, we see that God miraculously defeats an invading army of 135,000 people with 300 men. And God receives the glory. So in conclusion, points are this. God uses tough times to get our attention. Is He getting your attention today? Number two, God always sees more than we do. He always sees more than we do. Do you see yourself as God sees you? Number three, God confirms His priorities with His presence. Do you sense God's presence in your life today? If so, act on that. Number four, private faithfulness is a prerequisite for public usefulness. Do you need to get right with God? Do you need to get right with God so He can use you? If so, do it today. Number five, God is patient with our faith process. He meets you right where you are. You don't need to change. You don't need to do anything else. God meets you right where you are. And lastly, success is determined by God's power, not our own. Will you trust Him with your life today? Listen to Him and follow His leading. Let's pray.